seek like the actual Pittsburgh communities outside of the campus areas. Just because, I don't know, like coming from where I'm from, like I'm not poor or anything, but I come from a working class family and like work construction my whole life. So coming here and like even during school, like working two different jobs, like working at a restaurant and then like working construction during the summers, like I just couldn't really culturally attach myself to a lot of the other people here, where I was just seeing people who literally princes and princesses, and I was just kind of like, oh my God, and like children of like CEOs, and it just like was very difficult for me to attach myself to that, especially coming from like Chicago and kind of loving the more city nitty gritty side of things. But yeah, so that did push me to eventually start looking into seeing the rest of the East End. So I really, I've always like prided myself on like being very attached to the East End of Pittsburgh. So like East Liberty, Bloomfield, Garfield. From there, finding places like Time Bomb Shop, which used to be on Highland Ave, which is like a historic hip-hop graffiti store, and Daily Bread, and finding all those friends there. Thank you to CMU for pushing me away.
I think it's sometimes great on artistic journeys to find inspiration from life and to find inspiration sometimes from those struggles that you face. And I feel like that's the uncomfortable part of the artistic journey. But when you're creating graffiti, what are you thinking about in terms of style and colors? Like, what do those artistic choices look like? Or do you come up with a design beforehand? Or
yeah, I mean, I would say there's definitely a distinction for me between like my graffiti and my muralism or spray can muralism. As far as graffiti inspiration, like letters, a lot of the inspiration for me does come from Pittsburgh. It wasn't until I moved to Pittsburgh that I had people who were willing to critique my style and tell me like that I sucked for the first time. And I was like, oh, wow, like I just assumed because I know how to draw, I must be good at graffiti. And it's kind of like, well, no, like graffiti is a typographic art form. It's based in lettering and this long history of hip hop. It even predates hip hop. And so I can't reinvent something that's already been mastered and that has this super strong history tied to it. It'd be wrong for me to reject the culture that it comes from young black and brown kids from New York and Philadelphia. Yeah, so I'm always looking to that as a reference point, like original subway graffiti, just wall graffiti. As far as like what I'm contributing to my style writing, and even in my murals, I try to push for there to be as much of a graffiti presence as possible. So any point that I get to introduce traditional graffiti styles into my art, I'd gladly accept it.
It's interesting that you mentioned the different scenes that exist in graffiti from different cities. I wanted to ask you, what are some of the regional differences that exist between what you saw in, say, Chicago and here in Pittsburgh? And how does that influence your style?
Yeah, there absolutely is like a huge distinction between different cities' graffiti styles. Like I even said, like there's a little bit of a contention between who started modern style writing, whether it was Philadelphia or New York, but they both started around the same time in the late 60s. Philadelphia has a very, very distinct style for their, like, very tall, elongated letters. Even all of their, like, pieces look like that. It's called a style called Wickeds. And it's just, like, this very, very gestural style that you probably couldn't even read if you weren't from Philadelphia. Where New York is known for, like, these rounder, more funky styles. Yeah, so and even being that Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, they're in the same state. Yes, they're opposite ends. It's just interesting to note that Pittsburgh does not have a Philadelphia style. Pittsburgh has a bit of his own style. Kind of with the advent of Instagram and the internet, styles have started to be diluted a bit. Philadelphia still has its style, but all the styles are kind of meshing a lot. The one thing with Chicago's style is that it actually kind of is very similar to LA's style because of a history of a Chicano and Cholo movement there, where a lot of the original graffiti from LA is referencing kind of like old English styles, and a lot of gangbangers from back then would be riding in that style. So even before style riding was a thing that existed. So a lot of these almost gothic, pointy, like very aggressive looking styles of graffiti were present in LA, and being that there was a large movement of Chicano and Cholo people in Chicago and kind of like migration between the two places, they share that style. Where definitely, though, if you go to the south side of Chicago, it's a lot more noticeable. Where the north side, it's just kind of like a contemporary mix of all styles. So Chicago definitely would not have its style if it wasn't for the Mexican-American culture that's present there. Pittsburgh, being that it has zero Mexican-American culture, besides like me and two other people,
You're listening to An Experiment with Time on WRCT Pittsburgh. Over the airwaves on 88.3 FM in the city of Pittsburgh. Streaming online to the world up on WRCT.org. WRCT is supported by Speck Brothers Pizza. Located at 5107 Penn Avenue in Bloomfield, Speck Brothers Pizza offers pizza, hoagies, and wings and salads while specializing in vegan and vegetarian alternatives. Speck Brothers Pizza uses no refined sugars in its sauce and unbleached flour in its dough. Speck Brothers offers both takeout and delivery. For more information, email them at speckhelp@gmail.com or visit their website at speckbrothers.com. And if you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. Right now, millions of kids up to age 19 are eligible for free or low-cost health insurance through Medicaid and CHIP. Your child could be one of them. In fact, children in a family of four earning up to $80,000 a year may qualify. Income levels vary by state. Regular checkups, immunizations, doctor and dentist visits, hospital care, mental health services, prescriptions, and more are covered. For more information or to enroll today, go to insurekidsnow.gov. That's insurekidsnow.gov. Thanks for tuning in, folks. This is An Experiment with Time. Just kicking off tonight's experiment with Sharif Nagarbane from his 2023 release, Marzipan. Right after that, we are kicking off strong with some classic Soft Machine from their 1968 release. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around. Lots of great music coming up.
the pot is with my friend. Winter time is when I think about the past. But of course I do all those things all the year round. I mean all the good things are there too.
Yeah. te amore delle che se carga a morar buone che mi va via mai perga che se te va a morar buone che mi va via mai perga che se te va Oh, you know.
Cortez the Killer, Neil Young, and Crazy Horse. That's the original studio version from Zuma. Something I come back to every once in a while. I've heard it a million times, and it's so perfect. It's so incredible, and there's really great live versions of it, but there's just something about that studio version of it that just... has left me completely speechless. Before that, I will struggle to pronounce this name. It is a Mongolian singer. Oydapua Vladimir Uin is the best pronunciation I can muster there. Divine Music from Jail. The name of the track was There Are Many Tears Here Gained. Really incredible stuff featuring that unmistakable Tuvan throat singing. Oydapua spent 33 years of his 55 years of life in prison, in a Soviet prison. Don't know much else about his life. I just sort of stumbled across that this week. It's really intense, incredible music. And before that, yeah, we kicked that off with Soft Machine. Why not? Just some great classic Soft Machine. Families affected by disasters urgently need support. You can help the American Red Cross provide help and hope to those when they need it most. Please donate today. Go to redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to help people affected by disasters big and small. Your support is critical. We can't do it without you. One World Radio Show, a collaborative radio show between WRHU in New York, WRCT in Pittsburgh, and BUSH Radio in Cape Town, South Africa. We discuss both local and global issues from a positive and solutions-based perspective to increase community literacies and global knowledge. Wednesdays, 9 to 10 a.m. And Too Evil to Have a Human Name, Horrible Music for Horrible People. Only on WRCT, 7 to 9 p.m. Sunday evenings in Nomino Satana. And music to Make You Dye Your Hair Purple, Fridays at 5 p.m. Lavender Hour. Let's get back to the experiment here. We got some more music from Soviet era Russia coming up, and a lot more. This is an experiment with time. Mdou Mokhtar, new track off of his upcoming release, which features a completely acoustic version of his recent album, Funeral for Justice. Let's see, before that, Antligen from Anna Hogberg Attack. I've been playing that a lot, tracks off of that album a lot recently. Intense Swedish free jazz. Hortense Ellis before that, Anna Hogberg track, Helen Sorrow. And right now we are listening to Peregrine by Jim White and Marissa Anderson off of their 2024 album Swallowtail. Thank you.
making the solar system alone.
Thank you.
you're tuning in. This has been an Experiment with Time on WRCT Pittsburgh. If you've been digging the music you have been listening to, check out the full playlist up on WRCT.org. Have a great night and take care of yourselves.
Generations Halloween.